Well, let me add my welcome to everyone that's come along to the meeting this evening, and we trust that and bless us all as we listen to and consider his word this evening. I'd like to read three short passages with you this evening. The first of them is in the book of Isaiah and in chapter 55. Now, Isaiah in my Bible is roughly in the middle. If you come to the middle and find Psalms, go ahead a bit and that'll find Isaiah. If you come to the middle and find Isaiah, then that's fine. It's in Isaiah and chapter 55. And we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Over, please, into Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 11. Now, I hadn't actually considered reading this verse this evening, but after the hymns that we sang before the meeting and the hymns that we've sung during the meeting, I feel that we should. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and the verses that we want are verses 28 to 30. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The final verse, please, in John's Gospel and chapter 7. John's Gospel and chapter 7. And the verse that we want here is verse 37. John's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now we look to God to bless to us the reading of his word this evening. When we come to the passage that we started in this evening in Isaiah chapter 55, it starts like this. It starts with a ho. A ho. And the whole idea of this ho is that it's to draw attention. It's a voice that's calling out, and it's calling us to listen. It's calling us to pay attention to what is being said. Now, there's lots of things that are clamouring for our attention in life, aren't there? Plenty of things around us, plenty of legitimate things. There's the day-to-day living that clamours for our attention. If we've got children, there's children that clamour for our attention. And there's work that clamours for our attention, and other things that come in and clamour for our attention, and sometimes we're bamboozled with all the things, and almost overwhelmed by all the things that are calling from so many different directions to us. But here is someone who is calling to us this evening. Someone who wants to grab our attention. Someone who wants us to listen. Someone who wants us to pay heed. And that someone is God. You know, there's no one greater that we could pay heed to this evening. There's no one greater that we could pay attention. I suggest indeed this evening that it's vital that if God speaks to us, that we prick up our ears and listen. If God is offering something to us, as God is offering something to us, and as the Lord Jesus is offering something to us in the verses that we've read this evening, then really we do well to sit up and take notice and listen. As we said, there's many things that call for our attention. There's many things that would seek to distract us from things that are important. Things that can come into our lives. Things that take up so much time and so much effort with so little to show for it. I mean, we're very good at time wasting, aren't we? We're very good at spending time on doing things that don't really matter. And don't actually have any ultimate value at the end of the day. I mean, Isaiah here in the message that he brings us from the Lord talks about that. He says, why do you spend money on what isn't bread? And your labour for that which satisfies not. And you know as well as I do that he's not really talking about bread, is he? He's not really talking about food. Food is necessary. Although we know that food only really satisfies for that one meal. If it's a particularly good meal and a big meal, it might satisfy us for a bit longer. But food in general, it just satisfies for a short time and we need to come back again. But you see, that's like everything in life, isn't it? That's like so many of the pursuits and the pleasures and the things that call on our time, the things that we go in for, the hobbies that we take, or other things that call for our attention. They're things that don't satisfy. They're things that we have to keep going back to time and time and time again. Particularly if we think of the more harmful things that we could get involved in, sometimes it involves taking ever bigger and increasing doses to get the same hit. But it doesn't satisfy. Far from it, in fact. Most of the things that we can think of, that we can go into, that bring us into that kind of enslavement are things that actually tear us apart. Get us into difficulties and problems. But so much about life is, and so much about things that we can do are working and doing. And at the end of the day, there's nothing lasting. You know, if we could work and amass to ourselves all the riches and the wealth in the world, we can't take it with us. Everything has to be left behind. There's nothing that we can take out of this world that we've gained in this world. It all has to be left. Sobering thought, isn't it? But you see, what we have here in what God has to offer in Isaiah, and what the Lord Jesus has to offer in the passages that we've read in the New Testament, is something that's lasting. And it's something that's satisfying. And did you notice? It's something that's free. Oh, you know, there's many offers that we get. There's offers that come on our emails, aren't there? We have laid aside for you £10 million. And it's ready and it's waiting to go into your account. You just have to pay £300. And you know fine well that if you pay the £300, you'll never see it again. And the money that's supposed to come never comes. But you've heard as well that there's no such thing as a free lunch, is there? Haven't we? And we've heard that if an offer is too good to be true, then very often it is. And so often when we think of the offers that come through our doors, or the offers that bombard us from all kinds of places, you can examine it and examine the small print. And you can see that it's not actually such a great offer as it was cracked up to be in the first place. Or it's not such a great offer, or the person that's offering it just quite simply isn't able to deliver what they're promising to deliver. But here tonight, we have an offer that comes to us. Says the Lord Jesus, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Says the Lord Jesus, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, or another translation gives it, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Says God in Isaiah, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. The one who has no money, come, buy and eat. Now that's a paradox, isn't it? How can you buy anything if you've got no money? How can you buy wine and milk without money and without price? It doesn't make sense, does it? But you know, when you buy something, you take it to yourself. You appropriate it to yourself. You have ownership of it. And God's saying, come here. Come to me. Come to the waters. Those of you who are thirsty. He's not talking about literal thirst, is he? He's not talking about the kind of thirst that we go to the tap for and get a drink of water, if so be that we drink water and not other kinds of stuff. But we go to the tap and get a drink of water, and it slakes our thirst. No, the Lord Jesus and God here is talking about a deeper thirst. It's a spiritual need. It's a longing for something that we haven't got. A longing for something that will satisfy. A longing for peace. A longing for joy. A longing for something that will give meaning in life. I want to ask you tonight, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Have you come to an appreciation this evening that there's something that you haven't got? Something that's missing? Have you come to the conclusion that there must be more to life than what there is? Something more to life than the day-to-day humdrum and of day-in, day-out of doing the same old stuff? I want to tell you there is. There is more to life. Much more to life. It's found in the person of the Lord Jesus. There is satisfaction in Christ. What about those of us that are weary? What about those of us that are burdened? You know, there's lots of things that can burden us. As we get older, they seem to get ever more, don't they? But there's burdens that we bear when we're young. There's burdens that weigh us down. There's things that just kind of weigh heavily upon us. Says the Lord Jesus, are you weary? Are you burdened? Come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you satisfaction. So we have to ask ourselves the question, can he really deliver what he's promising? Can the Lord Jesus, can God really give us that kind of satisfaction? You see, the Lord Jesus, particularly in John's Gospel, he comes out with claim after claim after claim. He'll say, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes in me shall never thirst. He says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. He says, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Life to the full. Tell me, do you know anything about that kind of life this evening? Do you know anything about that kind of life? He says, it's not possible, is it? It's not possible. Who could possibly give life like that? What man could possibly promise things like that? We know the promises of people, don't we? We know the promises, for example, of politicians. And they promise things, particularly when they want your vote. And they consistently fail to deliver. The promises of other people, the promises of those that have claimed to find a cure to the latest ailments and the things that afflict us. Try this, try that, try the other. So many claims that are made. So many people that say they can help. What makes the Lord Jesus different? What makes the Lord Jesus special? What makes the Lord Jesus unique? Well, you see, first of all, it's because of who he is. It's because of who he is. John, you see, when he was writing his gospel, he wants to bring before us just something of the uniqueness of the person of Christ. And John starts his gospel this way. And he says about the Lord Jesus, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And a little bit further down the chapter, in John chapter 1, it says this. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Says John, you want to know who this Jesus of Nazareth is? You want to know who I'm talking to you about? Do you want to know who I'm presenting to you as the Saviour, as the one who can satisfy, as the one who can bring life and peace and joy and satisfaction? I'll tell you who it is. He's the eternal God. He's the one who was before all things. He's the one through whom all things were made. He's the one through whom all things hang together, in whom all things hang together. Says John, there's no one like him. There's nobody like the Lord Jesus. The eternal Son of the eternal God. He says, but I want to tell you something amazing. The Word, the eternal Word, became flesh. He became a man, you know. He was born. It's only a few weeks ago we were thinking about that, wasn't it? We were thinking about it at Christmas. And we think about the baby lying in a manger, cradled in a manger. And the eternal God came down and was born of a woman. Says Paul in Galatians, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. You know, that's what makes the Lord Jesus absolutely unique, you know. There's no man who has, or woman, who has ever walked the face of this planet before or since who was God come down as a human being. But the Lord Jesus was. He says, you expect me to believe that? You expect me to believe that there was a person who was living here on this earth who was God? Who was the eternal God? How could God come down as a man? Well, says John, I'm going to prove it to you. And I'm going to prove it to you by giving you just seven signs. Seven signs that prove to me, says John, and that I want to prove to you just who he is. Says John, he's the one who could turn water into wine. He's the one who could heal a nobleman's son. At a distance, he didn't even need to be there. All he did was say, go thy way, thy son liveth. And it was at the same hour that Jesus spoke that the boy was cured. Says John, you want to see how amazing this man is? I'll take you into Jerusalem and I'll take you to a place called Bethesda, a place where there's five porches, a place where there's a multitude of people that were sick, and there's a man there and he's been lying there for 38 years. And the Lord Jesus, you know, he said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man immediately got up and walked. 38 years. 38 years, nothing, no strength in his legs, nothing at all. And one word from the Saviour and he gets up and he walks. Says, John, you want to know about the one who can satisfy? I'll tell you about the one who, one day, there were more than 5,000 people there. 5,000 men beside women and children, and the Lord Jesus, you know, he fed them with 5 loaves, 5 wee rolls, and 2 fish. He's the one who said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. He says, I am the bread that can satisfy, that can truly satisfy. He says, you might have eaten the bread. You might have eaten from the loaves and you were filled. He says, I'm the true bread. And you want to know how unique this person is? You want to know how unique the Lord Jesus is? Well, after he'd fed the 5,000 and he'd sent the multitudes away and he'd sent the disciples away, he's the one who came down from the mountain and in the middle of the night he walked on the sea to his disciples. The disciples, they were terrified, you know. And they were terrified. They thought they saw an apparition. They thought they saw a ghost, whatever it was. They thought they saw. And the Lord Jesus says, don't be afraid, I am. I am. Be not afraid. He's the one who could walk on water. He's the man who could give sight to a man who was born blind. You know, it was said in that chapter, never before in the history of the world had it been known that someone who'd been born blind had been given his sight, but the Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus made clay, anointed the eyes of the blind man, told him to go and wash. He washed and he came seeing. You're building up a picture of just how amazing this man is. Just how unique this man is. Come to the last one, says John. And here's a man, here's a scene beside a tomb. And inside that tomb is a man who's been dead for 4 days. Who, when the Lord Jesus says, roll away the stone, his sister says, Lord, by this time he's going to stink. He's been dead for 4 days. Corruption has started to set in. So the Lord Jesus, didn't I say to you, if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God. He's the man who could cry out and say, Lazarus, come out. And he that was dead came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Says John, there's many other things that he did. Many other things that Jesus did that are not written in this book. He says that these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Absolute uniqueness of the person of Christ. But there's more. Because when we think about the Lord Jesus, we inevitably think about the place called Calvary. And when we think about the life of the Lord Jesus and the birth of the Lord Jesus, inevitably our minds are drawn to the end of his life. And our minds are directed to a cross. At a place that is called Golgotha, the place of a skull. And there we see the one who did such amazing things. The one who is the God of heaven come down in human form. Come down as a man. We see him suspended between heaven and earth on a cross of wood. That's how he can satisfy. That's how he can lift the burden and no one else can. Because there on the cross, the Lord Jesus, the one who knew no sin. Sin had never been part of his being in the slightest fashion whatsoever. Never the slightest thought. Never the slightest word that was said out of place. Never the slightest deed that was done or not done. But says the scripture, the one who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that our sins might be dealt with, that our sin might be taken away, that the penalty of our sin we will never have to face, that the power of sin now in the present might be broken, so that no longer we need to serve sin, no longer do we have to do the things that we've been that we've been doing. No longer do we have to face defeat every single day in life. Though the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that our sin could be forgiven, so that our sin could be dealt with. But you know, we read something in John chapter 7. The Lord Jesus spoke and he said that the one who believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then as a parenthesis it says, this he spoke of the Spirit, which those who would believe on him would receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And John's drawing attention in that verse to the fact that though the Lord Jesus was going to the cross, though the Lord Jesus was heading to the place of death, and though the Lord Jesus would lay down his life there at Calvary, on the third day he would rise again, and he would ascend back into heaven, and he would be exalted to the very highest of places, and he would be glorified with a glory that is beyond all other. And from that position in glory, he would graciously give the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to indwell every single person who believes in him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Can I just whet your appetite this evening? You know, that's what the Lord Jesus did. There's a woman in John chapter 4. And the Lord Jesus just started talking about water. He started off by asking her for a drink. She came with her water pot to the well, and he was sitting without a water pot, and he asked for a drink. And the conversation started. And the Lord Jesus then, he said to her, he says, if you knew the gift of God, and who it was that said to you, give me to drink, you'd have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And she starts thinking, she says, where are you going to get water from? Where's this man going to get water from? But and then he says, whoever drinks of this water, the water of the well that he's sitting on, they'll thirst again. It's natural water, it's just water. But whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst. But the water that I give will be in them a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, she says, give me this water. Give me this water. I want to ask you tonight, have I whetted your appetite a bit? For the water that only Christ can give. For the satisfaction, for the joy, for the peace that only the Lord Jesus can bring. Oh, I tell you, he's worth trusting. He can deliver. He can give what he promises to give, and only he. Said the Lord Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He claimed to be the only way to God. He proved it when he and he alone laid down his life and took it again. He and he alone has paid the price of sin. He and he alone has been raised to the very highest of places at the right hand of God in heaven. Oh, the Lord Jesus is able to save tonight. He's able to give what he promises. You know something? You know these wonderful great sounding offers that you get from people, particularly scammers. And you know who they prey on, don't you? They prey on the weak and the vulnerable, don't they? They prey on the pensioner, saying, look, if you take your pension and you get it in a lump sum and you invest it here, then we'll make it so much more than you're going to get otherwise. So many people have been caught out that way. So many people have lost. They prey on the weak and the vulnerable. I want to tell you, it was the weak and the vulnerable that were drawn to the Lord Jesus, you know. It was the tax collectors. It was the sinners. It was the marginalized. It was those who knew their need. It's no wonder that God says in Isaiah, he says, if you're thirsty, those who are thirsty, come. Those who have no money, Come, those who are aware of their needs, let them come to me. It's no accident that the Lord Jesus says, come to me, all ye who are labour and are heavy laden. It's no wonder the Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. See, the Lord Jesus is calling to those who have an awareness and an appreciation of their need of him. He says on another occasion, he says, I came not to call the righteous but sinners. I want to ask you tonight, are you conscious of your sin? Are you aware that you're not right with God? Are you conscious that not everything is well with your soul? I want to say, if you are, that's great. That's a great thing, you know. To come to an understanding that we're not right with God. Let me ask you, have you come to an understanding that you actually want to be right with God? It's one thing knowing that you have a need. It's quite another thing knowing that you need to do something about it. You know, we can sail through life knowing that things aren't perfect and knowing that things aren't right, and yet really never quite finding the time to do something about it. I want to ask you, if you're conscious that you've got a need of salvation, are you going to do something about it? I want to ask you, have you come to an understanding of just who the Lord Jesus is? Of what he's done for you? Of how he and he alone can save you? How he and he alone can deliver to you, can give you what he promises to give free, without condition, without saying you need to change first. If you come to that appreciation, then why not tonight? Why not come to him? Why not trust him as your saviour and as your Lord? Shall we pray? Oh, Father, we thank thee again for this time that we've had together. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Father, for the great promises that the Lord Jesus and that thou dost give to all who come unto thee through him. We thank thee for a great and a wonderful salvation. We thank thee, our Father, that it's beyond our wildest imaginations. It's beyond things, our Father, that we can really comprehend. And yet, our Father, we thank thee that those of us who have put our trust in the Lord Jesus, we've come to appreciate something, just a little something, of the greatness of thy salvation and the greatness of our Saviour. Our Father, our deepest longing is that others would come to know him too. That others would find in him that faithful friend, that all in all, that one who can truly satisfy, the one, our Father, who can cleanse and make us fully whole. And so, our Father, we just pray thy blessing to be upon thy word tonight. Bless it to each of our hearts, we ask thee, as we consider again the greatness of the Lord Jesus and the greatness of what he has done. Father, we pray that thou draw out our hearts in thanksgiving towards him. So, our Father, we just commit this time to thee, and we commit ourselves to thee now as we give thee thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.